The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal has every single tool that you need to dominate your debt. So if you're a military member, a veteran, or a family member, go check out NavyFederal.org for more information today.
I'm dragging the leg, and I'm going so far downhill that if I tried to turn around, I start to tumble. But if I go the other way, you know, it's easy. I can kind of drag and drag, but you're going up and over this. You're going up and over that. You're going under this log. You're going over that log. So I've gone maybe a third of a mile in like 3 hours. And I was like, this is just, I'm going to die out here.
Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the TNQ Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit Podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit Podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening and watching, and please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're seeing this show. So today, before we get into our special guest, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. This week, we have got, what is the most incredible view that you'll never forget that you've seen? I want to say mine would be at the top of Mount Batur, sunrise in Bali.
Your pictures from that were really gorgeous.
It was incredible. You had to start the hike at 1 a.m., got there just at sunrise, and it was incredible.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what mine would be.
Tough one, man, because you can go, depending on what the terrain looked like, right? There's different beauties.
I don't know. I'm in love with just the millions of peaks that you can see in the hard four, like the Wyoming, Montana, Utah. So the Rocky Mountain peaks are just hard for me to beat. That's quite the view, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that.
I like when there's a lake in the view. Like it has to have water and mountain. Yeah. That's what I like. Or ocean.
So where was it?
Gosh.
I know.
Where?
Sardinia. At that house. We were sitting at the house on the backyard, and it had a rock wall, and I was overlooking a lake.
Yeah.
Lake Garda, right?
That's not Sardinia.
What is that?
That was Lake Garda in Italy.
In Italy. And then if I looked to the right, there was a church steeple stuck out of some woods, and it was a big foresty area with kind of a little picturesque town. And then if I looked straight to the left, there was mountains, just like you're describing.
Can't beat that, yeah.
I mean, it had everything. And then on the in-between in front of me was another, like a lake area in a town. But there was church steeples sticking up everywhere.
You could even hear the bells, too.
You could hear the bells. The weather was perfect. The lake was like glass. There wasn't anybody on it.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I'm not good at pronouncing Italian words, but it's like Sirmione or something like that.
Sirmione.
Sirmione is the name of the town that was in.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was really pretty. We travel a lot.
Yeah.
That's very hard. I also think Queenstown.
Queenstown.
New Zealand.
That's gorgeous.
That whole freaking place is.
At the top of whatever that mountain is that you can take the gondola up, that, because it overlooks this huge lake, and it's like a fairy tale. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
And we went hunting there.
Yeah. Of course, I know.
That was Hunter's senior trip, and he got a red stag.
Oh, you did.
Got that's a stag, incredible. And what was that, that goat?
Tar or chamois?
Both. He got both.
Tar and chamois?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That's badass. Good for you. All
right. Pretty sweet.
That was his senior trip.
That's quite a trip. I like it. Yeah.
There's no words to describe what that looks like.
Yeah.
Especially on the glacier, when the glacier's coming down, the waterfall is in between the ice.
It's hard for us because we do travel the world a lot. So there's a lot of really awesome places. I also think in Bora Bora, where the water is just so crystal clear.
There was one time I was hunting in Utah, and I was in a, it was in a bowl area, and there was a, the grassy plains were flowing, but there was a little bit of snow that had come through the day before, a stream running right through the middle of it.
Yeah.
I was sitting on the bank down in there trying to for some cover. And then up the side of the mountain, there was an old cabin, probably turn of the century, that wasn't there anymore, but was there. And then, you know, that hazy mist day that comes in like that, if you can feel it on your skin.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, this is the most beautiful spot. I'm all buried there. Really? It was one of those. I was like, I could freaking be buried right
there.
Yeah,
I know, yeah.
And when those come up into your head, that's a good spot.
I get lucky with that. Getting above a lot of the places I hike and hunt are so high up that I'm looking down at the clouds. That's a view you can't, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
100% when you're looking down. Yeah. Like it looks like a blanket
through
there.
Oh, yeah. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. Humbling, for sure. It's a good question.
That's a good question. That. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, all right, brother. Thanks for coming on and doing this, man. Sure.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear your story. I know it's relatively fresh. So
yeah, it's still there.
I was sitting around when someone brought this to my attention a few weeks ago, and hell, it might even have been a few weeks ago, man. It was a couple weeks ago, I think. And we share a lot in common with this. So I'm interested in hearing about it. What we like to do, though, is getting a little bit about your backstory, where you were born and raised up, and how you got into your situation, if you don't mind. So if you don't mind, tell me where you're from.
Yeah, I was originally born actually in Buffalo, New York, but as far from elk hunting as you can get, you know, pretty much Canada. You know, I grew up with like a single mother, you know, an older brother, me and her, pretty much, you know, not the most fun childhood, but taught you a lot and all that. And you grow up a little differently. I'm sure everybody knows with that. But from there, I just kind of, as far as the hunting goes, I didn't live in like a hunting family or anything like that. Didn't live in a crazy hunting area. I was just, for some reason, very intrigued by the free will of animals. And I just spent a lot of time in the woods and kind of got obsessed with it. And in between, you know, normal life and sports and that, I always was hunting and all that. And I don't know, it was one of the things, I guess, as a young kid, it gave me a lot of confidence too, because something I can go out on my own and like have a challenge of trying to hunt this deer, you know, at such a young age, you know, you can go out with like 12 years old in some places. So it really builds, I think, character to you a lot. And I just couldn't get enough of that. But like I said, I had uncles that I would pretty much seek out, you know, for that. They were big hunters and I got super lucky. One of them was more like a methodical bow hunter, you know, and the other one was kind of like, he would just, oh, I'm going to go climb that limb with a bow and shoot something, you know, very different approaches to life and hunting. And, that's kind of, I would say, what got me into that realm of things, you know. And then I shot in the PRS forever, too, and got really good at, like, the long range and teaching people how to do it. And kind of that started me on the guiding path where it was like, okay, you know, there's all these elements to a big hunt like that. And I've kind of knocked them all off and gotten good at each one with, like, you know, I honestly, as a joke as a kid, I was like, I want to get a paycheck to hunt something. And I never thought
every freaking country boy's dream. I know, I got some buddies that
want. I didn't think it was possible. And like it eventually started happening and I haven't stopped. So that's kind of what got me into the guiding there. And I actually, now that I live in Utah, it was like a long-term plan where also my childhood, I had about 19 manual labor jobs, you know, with that kind of style of life. So I learned how to weld and all that. And everything has slowly pushed it towards being like welding funds my guiding addiction, you know what I mean? So pretty much every year. So now I have a shop out there and I guide as much as I can all year, as many species and that, and try not to lose my ass in the business in the meantime, you know? So that's it was basically a long process of always wanting to try to, how the hell do I get paid to do this?
Who took you out for the first time?
My uncle.
What were you hunting?
We were hunting deer.
How'd that go?
Really successful and very young, and I was like, man, this is cool. Like, we shot one the second day.
Did you get buck fever?
No, because I was so intense on satisfying him. Like, that he's like, you know, he's a god to me. He was a god to me. I was like, I don't care about that deer. I just don't want him to, like, disappointed in me, you know? First shot I killed, and I was like, oh my god, like, that is amazing. And he was so happy with me. and so satisfied. I was like, you know, wow, that's a new feeling. Like, this is cool. I really, really like that. Like, not only am I proud of myself, but he's like, holy shit, you killed it. And I was like, yeah, am I not supposed to? Like, you know, and over again, it just gives you confidence, you know.
I've been out with some guys on their first ones and they start shaking so freaking bad.
Oh,
they
can't
knock an arrow or draw it back or just can't even keep sight on line. Yep. It's funny how it affects people differently.
Yeah.
And then after too.
Oh yeah.
When you walk up on it.
But like the brownout is what people call it. You're not like really blacking out, but a lot of people don't remember firing or aiming right. or pressing the trigger. I have that and I like it and that's fine. But a lot of people, it's like, what happened? Did I hit it? And it's like, oh dude, you shouldn't ask me that after you shot. Like, you know? So it's very weird. You're right, how people get into that moment, but I'm lucky
to
not have
You don't
that.
Want it to go away.
No. It's odd. Yeah.
Right. You don't want that feeling to
That's
go away.
That's a high. For
it's
sure.
a high, definitely.
Yeah.
So how'd you end up in Utah?
Well, that was actually half on accident, half not. I have family that lives relatively close to me, but at the time I was guiding for an outfit in Montana, and one of the outfits that came up there, they were kind of complimenting me on how I had handled, you know, they were an outdoor channel, it was kind of a big deal. And we were successful in everything we did. And they kind of were like, oh, hey, you know, you should check this place out. You know, it might be a better fit for you kind of thing. And I was like, all right, I'll just wing it. But, you know, living back east and it was in Utah, it's like I just wildly applied to a bunch of places, you know, top-notch places that had like, okay, these not only had the clientele that I want, but the places and the animals and the views. And a couple of places called me back and I actually lied through my teeth. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in Utah all the time. I'll be right there. And they're like, oh, you come in for an interview? I was like, yeah, Tuesday sound good? Like, I'm buying a ticket on my phone, you know? Just so desperate to make it happen still over and over. But they said yes. Asked me back, you know, after I started killing enough things in the right ways. So I haven't left, basically.
So did you get out there and scout first, or do you just familiar?
Oh, you scout quite a bit, and that's how this whole story is even about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you scout for... I mean, I'm already out there in April, getting right. ready for all that and velvet bucks and bulls in August, you know, it's a 6 months, a half year thing all the time. So I'm a little obsessed with it. Yeah.
So how does scouting work? Are you going out by yourself?
I do a lot, which is another thing that I've kind of thought about recently. And I mean, that's just the inherent risk you're taking anything you do yourself. At the end of the day, you're on your own, you know, and maybe... I don't know. I don't regret it. I don't think there was that much of a stupid thing for me to... I go out so often, so alone, so far back. Never really thought about it. Just always kind of thought, yeah, sure, I'm prepared, whatever. But scouting is usually me and my dog and just looking around at places where I know, okay, is he here yet? Keep track of that one. Keep track of that one. And you build like this kind of game for yourself in all these like giant draws. Like, okay, I want to get him this year and I want to see what he turns out like without velvet. And I want to see... who he brings in and like, wow, that bull is huge, but he's not done growing yet, but he's already got all these cows sitting next to him. Like, okay, I want to visit him in 2 months, you know, it becomes this huge chess game.
Okay. So explain to our listeners who don't know what velvet is.
So velvet, believe it or not, and this is something a lot of people don't get is a bicuspid, like a deer animal, like a moose, whitetail, mule deer, elk, they all drop those horns every year. Like wildly amount of growth, these 300, 400 inches of a bull elk, you know, he'll drop it every year. And when they start growing it again, after they got all those nutrients from the winter and they start to actually break out of the skin, it gets covered in what is a velvet. And it looks like velvet, but it's a soft skin that has feeding that bone until it becomes cold enough and they get kind of an environmental cue to rub it off. And it is gory looking and it is tons of blood, but they don't, it's like, how do you explain it? Like, almost like picking a little scab that's ready to go.
Under some fur.
Yeah. And there's tons of blood and it's wild, but then it falls off and you wouldn't even know it was there like a week later.
Some of my favorite mounts, the ones still got some velvet sitting on top of it.
Yeah. Hard to do though. You know, you kill an animal like that and it's like, you could flick it like that and it's, you're scratching it. So it's like, oh man, you get that thing. Don't move it. It's like, you're holding it like this, you know? So it's cool. It's hard to do. Kill one of those.
Are you taking pictures, video of it?
Like video everything. And now the outfits that I work for, you want to keep track of them. And that hunter loves that too. It's like, okay, we've had this year, we planned this year. Or you have it till next year, and you can see, okay, there's that same one with that kicker. That's got to be that same.
So are you sending them to him throughout the year, or is it when he gets some there? Because that's pretty intense. Like, yeah. If I was sitting around all year long and my guide was sending me, I'm like, dude.
I have some repeats. Now, that's the cool thing about guiding a decent amount of time is I have a lot of the same guys that come back and want to kill all kinds of stuff. So I was like, how do you like this one? And he's like, where is that? You know what I mean? Like, that's the fun part. So, yeah, I try to record everything.
I kind of, my last hunt out there, I started to become a firm believer that either the trees get out of the way when those things run through the woods, or those antlers can lay down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've walked through some of the woods chasing those things and came out missing clothes and my hat was gone and everything.
Sounds
like
a truck walking through the woods. Yeah. Right. But them,
they slide through there like it was nothing.
Oh, yeah. And when like a 900-pound bull just walks in silent and all of a sudden he's just like this.
Besides the size of a truck with stuff hanging off the side of it. And you can't hear it. And there's no proof that they went through there barely.
I could barely walk through the airport with a cane.
Yeah, bumping into people. I mean, these suckers, it's the most amazing phenomenon when watching them do that.
Yeah. What a cool thing to see, too, you know. And that was like goes back to when I was super young. Like, wow, just these animals are like the command of their environment. Like, we don't even think about sitting on a couch. It's like, oh, there's that tree, you know. They're just so in it. It's very different.
That is so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Are there a lot of scouts in the same area or do y'all know each other?
Oh, yeah. You know, as far as like guiding, we all know each other. And then public land, you know, generally kind of the community who's going to go far back enough to find whatnot they want. Also, there's tags in certain areas you can't go. So you don't really scout that until you have a tag. And if you do, you're one of the very few people that has it for there anyways. So a lot of my stuff is just like barren public land. Trying to find that one to waste my time on or not waste my time on. But the public land, it's like, you know, you schedule it with people. And actually the funny part, not funny, but that day there was another guide 2 miles away on another ridge, you know, doing other things and looking at a totally different area. And I guess that's just far enough away. You know, how far could my voice reach was really what I was thinking. It's unfortunate. But yeah, you go out with a lot of people and it's not like you're that... I don't want it to make it sound like I'm going 20 miles back just with a pair of sandals on and a sandwich. Like, it's not that barren. You know, you're on a machine and you have all kinds of GPS and this and that, but it's still a huge risk, especially in those steep mountains. You know how it is. It's like some of the stuff you don't have a choice to go down it or up it. It's like you're going. Like, you know.
So walk us through that day, starting with that morning. Okay. Like, you wake up, what do you have on you? What's your plan?
Well, that obviously I do scouting a bunch, but like I told you, the weld shop, I've been so busy, you know, trying to lead up to guiding season to try to catch up and all that stuff that I was like, all right, I'm taking one day. I'm going the whole day, you know, sun up to sundown. And we're going to find at least 3 or 4 that I want for my first 3 or 4 weeks of clients. Like, I want to get some sort of a challenge. I want to find a good one here, a good one there, whatever. And for myself. I don't know. It's like an hour drive, you know, packed everything up like normal. I have a side-by-side, like a big Polaris Ranger 4-door, you know, enclosed and all that. So got everything ready. Got, you know, he has a kennel in the back that's pretty much there 24/7. He's as comfortable as I am in the thing. And yeah, we headed out like totally normal, like a million other times.
You have food?
No. Yes and no. I mean, like snacks, but
boredom snacks.
Like beef jerky or something?
Yes, and like probably a summer sausage. I bring like a pound of summer sausage and it's good enough. You know, I'm not really thinking about eating or anything out there. You get so mesmerized. Sometimes you'll sit in the same spot. Like, I'm going to wait 3 hours because I know he's going to move his head. You know what I mean? I know he's going to get up and I'll take a video, then we'll move. So it's not exerting anything, but, you know, I brought food for the dog and water, like basic things. And that was, you know, I didn't even think about it. Didn't think about it. You know, just going out there to do what I love to do a million times.
It's the morning?
It was the morning. All day I was there. I was there from, you know, 6:30 a.m. And then by the time I found one deer I wanted to get a good look at, and actually the one outfit, they did kill him. He's a giant deer, so it was worth my worry. I tried to go to the whole other end of the property, essentially, by now it's almost dark. It's 7 p.m.
This is public land.
No, this is private and public. It bumped up against it.
Okay.
But the public land that I was on, you can go through private. It's kind of weird. It's like checkerboard kind of thing. Yeah. But the actual part was, yes, on public land. And, you know, 7:15, I've been there the whole day. So no, now it's almost getting dark and all that. And like I told on, I don't know if the one news outlet said it, but I actually ran into a fawn, an elk fawn in a bear trap at like 7:15. So I had to, you know, my like basically had a little small martial arts fight with her, trying to knock her down, get her out of this thing. And it's all on camera too. I'll show you guys. My dog's there freaking out. He thinks we have a friend and I'm like, get out of here. You know, like, so I get the elk out of the way cause it's in the trail and I had to go past her anyhow. So I thought I had some
pretty... trapped on the trail.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Not sure who did it, why they did it, but I got her out of there and I collapsed the trap and tossed it away, you know, but on public land, who knows? Well, who does what and for right. Why? No idea. And in that time of the year, it was kind of shitty because that's all you have is elk calves, a lot running around there. But got her out and right around the corner, that's when things went array.
All right, so let's get into it.
Yeah.
So you're driving around, listen to the radio. What's the second? Give me a play by play on this.
I was excited because I saw that deer and I was like, God, I want to see detail. And he's in velvet. So I was like, okay, every velvet deer looks monstrous. And if they're walking away and they tuck their ears, they look 40 inches wide. They could be 20, you know? So I want to see what he's really got on him. I want to see what he's worth. And if he's 4 years old, 5 years old, you get close, you can tell. And he's up in a hard spot, probably the highest point that I've been the whole day or that I'll go that day. So I'm trying to get back up there, trying to figure out how to get up there. And I've been there before a bunch of times, but not since the year before. You know what I mean? This is like the first outing I had in that area. So some of the stuff is washed out. Some of it was so washed out, it made a nicer trail. So, you know, I'm kind of navigating old trails, trying to figure out how the hell do I get to go look at it. And there's one trail and it goes straight up. And I was like, okay, well, let's try that. And I got around the corner, like it dips super hard because everybody that takes it, their right tire digs in harder. So the right side's a little lower. Okay, so you dip down a little and you go up. So I took that turn. And I go up maybe 10 feet and it's so overgrown and washed out. I was like, no, thank you. We're just going to walk from here. Literally, I was going to back up 20 feet, park and walk. It's like 500 yards. I just wanted to see him. So at that point, it's almost dark. I go like, you know, if I find another trail, it's going to be dark. Let's just park. So I actually didn't. I had it still in drive. You know, it's so steep. I was just on the brake going back and I got to that turn. My back right tire goes into that little dip. Like, okay, normal. I know this was going to be there. I just took it and I go again and my right one's in it and it just starts doing that. And I was like, it's like I'm sinking into mud or something. I don't know what's happening. And there must be the edge of it was so soft, you know, from a thunderstorm a day before or whatever, where it was just nobody's taking it. My right tire just starts slowly going off this cliff. And I see my front right tire lifting up out of the window. And I'm like, this is... I don't know what to do here. You know, in a millisecond, you have a million thoughts. It's like, okay, jump out. That's my first thought is like, my window was open and I never have a seatbelt on and those things. Cause I believe it's worse to be caught in it going down. I wouldn't be here if I was in that thing the whole time. So I try jumping out, my first thought, and that tire just goes. It's like, okay, I tried to like grab like that and like just throw my body out of that door, which is now up, but it just, it shit whipped me so bad that it took me the first time. And now it's almost 2 months. That's the last thing I remember. And I thought that it went one or two times and like blew me through the windshield. And I just like, okay, I remember that noise of like a horrific crash. You know, when you hear, I explain it like somebody dropping a car on a garbage can, like, you know what I mean? Like gnarly shit. And it's hard, you know it. And I must've smoked my head. Because then immediately I'm on the ground and I'm like, oh, damn. And I can hear the thing still rolling down the hill. So to me, it happened that quick and it was right there. But now I went back a couple times to get all my things and to kind of assess what happened. And it's about 90 feet from when that first noise, when it started to where my body landed. So, you know, I didn't know that. And like now it's like shocking to even think about. I mean, that's that far away because it's like it whipped me down the hill. But going straight, my body just went shoo, 90 feet down.
Out the window?
Oh, yeah. Or windshield, I don't know. The windshield was gone and the roof was gone. So I couldn't even tell you. I have no idea what happened from there. All I remember is a loud noise and then all of a sudden I'm on the ground like, whoa. And I remember the tree that I landed next to, you know, vividly, because I actually was like the only tree around when I first tried to get up. My right ankle was so dislocated, it was pointing to three. So I didn't see that until it like snapped back. And I was like, oh shit. And I, in my mind, I was like, oh, that's bad, but whatever, I'll limp out of here. Like, that sucks. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh, good. But I'm sitting on the cliff like this, like it's that steep. So I'm just sitting like normal. You don't need a seat. You could just sit down. And I'm trying to like go like that, man. And it's like, I heard that one pop. Okay. But God, what is going on here? You know, dude, and I lift up, I can't see my foot. And I'm like, I still don't get it. My brain did not understand what I was looking at. And I was like, what the hell? Like, get, and then I was like, oh. And I kind of just like, it gives me chills now. It's like, I sat there like, holy shit. Like, that's bad. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, like it's borderline blowing through the skin too. And that got in my head, you know.
Were your shoes on?
Both of them were still on, yeah.
They were still on.
And I didn't know it, but both ankles were like, the one's bad broken, the other one's just fractured good. But I mean, I 2 days later, not knowing this, but it threw me so hard. My whole body was like purple.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, the amount of bruising. Like, it was like somebody ran me over a couple times. It's just so odd. But anyways, I'm there and I'm like, okay. Ugh, I still didn't get it. And
your
I wanted
dog be, in the vehicle with you?
Didn't remember I had him. He was locked in a kennel in the back.
Oh, okay.
Zippered in. Totally in my shock. Forgot I had my dog with me. Like, I'm not there yet. I'm still going like, holy shit. How am I going to get? I'm like 4 miles back. This is real bad. This is real bad. And he comes wagging his tail. Right. Uh-oh. Up to me. Oh my God. Like if I wasn't in shock, I probably would have bawled my eyes out. Like, he came up like, what's up, Dad? We're chucker hunting. He thought we were hunting because we're always in that country for these birds. And he's like, all right, why are you looking for birds? I'm supposed to do that. And I'm like, still like trying to get my wits about me.
So the thing falls off. The ATV falls off the side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck like halfway down the mountain.
Correct. And he
and somehow
must have went with it.
He went with it.
Because he came up from the creek.
And then comes up and finds you.
Not a scratch.
Oh,
not a yelp. You know? Yeah. Oh, my God.
What kind of dog is this?
German short-haired pointer.
Oh, yes.
My brother had one of those.
Yeah. I mean, they hunt till they die. Yeah. You know? They're a wild dog.
Run forever.
They will run forever.
And that was, I mean, God, I would pay any amount of money to see how he got out of that.
Me too.
You know what I mean? That thing and my body. Too. My body also, but he's just like wagging his tail.
He's like, hey man, you should have been buckled in. About save lives, bro. I'm fine.
But I just didn't really understand it at that point, and he didn't either, and I didn't know what to do, and it's like, man, I felt so bad.
What's his name?
Buddy.
Yeah, of course.
I know. Well, I have so many clients, and they always forget the dog's name, so I'd be like, what can I, oh, hey, buddy. Yeah. There you go. Perfect, you know. But he ended up just being scratch-free. I don't understand that. That's a miracle of all miracles. That's the first one that happened, you know what I mean? All the other ones I needed to happen.
And his son's like, still up, is about to go down.
It's still up.
Yeah, check.
It's just up. You know, it's going down. And that's another thing in the back of my head. I'm like, whoa, all my shit's there. It used to be there. And now it went 20, 25 flips. I mean, it's the definition of a yard sale. Like when you see somebody on a slope and it's that. I mean, I couldn't find a full-size AR for a week out there. It's grid searching with people. Like, I could not believe how vicious that was. And that thing rolling and a roll cage, it doesn't even have it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. That was.
So all you have on you is your clothes, your watch.
Yep. I had a bino harness on, you know, and actually the binos like swung out and beat the hell out of me.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And they cracked in half on my face, I'm pretty sure, because in their Vortex. Thank you, Vortex. Send them back, send them new ones. But, oh, that hurt.
Right.
You know, that hurt.
There's a little plug for Vortex. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That was crazy. But I remember having to take them off. And like, I remember the cord, you know, the cord that holds onto your stuff, all of them are ripped. And I was like, okay, well, that didn't go well. Rangefinder, this, that, GPS.
Yeah, it's almost like those get caught into something. And then when you, that happened to me too. And
oh, yeah.
It's
just a little thing like that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't real reliable, but that's all I had at the moment. So I thought just what you thought, like, oh my God, I have nothing essentially. And all right, the Polaris is still running. No idea how.
You can hear it, or you can see it.
And I could hear the motor. And I was like, what the hell? Like, am I dead for sure? Like, this is wild. How is this? The dog, this thing is still running. What's going on here? Like, okay, well, I have to get down there. And then I was like, well, how are you going to do that? You know, all this stuff in a split second. You're like your worst enemy. And I'm going through this whole thing myself. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to go up? No chance. And why would you go up? Okay, you can go over this mountain. Maybe 3 miles away, there's a campground. Okay. What if there's nobody in the campground? That's a risk you can't take. So I got to go down. I got to go down and try to figure out how to not have this. And also, man, my cell phone's there. My GPS is there. My sat phone is there. My cell phone that has sat texting. All these things. Gone.
You carrying a whistle?
Yep. It's in my center console that was gone. Yeah. You know, I have 2 med packs in there. Like kits. Gone. The damn seats were gone. Like, I try to explain to some people, like, the axles were gone. Ripped out of the machine. With the control arms, like, 80 yards away. It was an absolute ridiculous tumble. Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't sitting there going, like, where's my GPS? I was like, I found duct tape. That's the only thing I found.
Hey, it's all you need sometimes.
Honestly, right? Yeah. It's weird, because now I have duct tape wrap cuts.
Hey, that's the almighty looking out for you. Grab a stick and some duct tape, man. Splint you up, right?
Literally, right? So I found a stick, and I found that damn little duct tape.
Wait. So when did you find the duct tape? Made it down there?
Well, no, that's the first thing. I didn't find the duct tape at first, so I went like this. I tried to have any way to not have that poke through the skin. I was terrified, and then I was going to be bleeding everywhere. I didn't need that. So, like, I kind of, like, rearranged it a couple times. Like, how am I going to do this, you know? I got to keep this leg, like, up. So what I ended up doing was grabbing this and somersaulting down and just holding it up, just trying and over and over. And it doesn't sound like that far in the long run, but it's like 100 feet. So it's a good tumble, you know, and I'm just screaming my head because it's hitting trees. It's hitting that. And the brush is higher than me. So I don't know when I'm going to impact the creek either. So I'm just like, oh my God, it's the worst roller coaster ever. And eventually I hit the side of the side by side, like the what used to be the tailgate. And I was like, okay. And then I started doing that, you know, dragging myself. Get into the side-by-side. All that stuff's gone. The whistle's gone. The center console where the whistle was is gone. Everything is gone. And just, it's an absolute miracle. Just this little thing of roll tape, duct tape like that with a quarter inch left on, sitting there. And I was like, okay, I guess that's what I'm going to use. You know, nothing else. I was even thinking about using a seatbelt. And the damn seatbelt's ripped off. The winch cable was gone. I was like, do I use the winch cable? Nope, nothing. So I found a stick that was actually like the perfect shape of like how your calf kind of goes down. And I just slammed it up against there and I just started taping the hell out of it. And eventually I could lift up my leg and the foot wouldn't fall below my leg. And I was like, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
You know, that's step one. So that's, now it's 8:15, 8:30-ish, and it's about to be super dark. And now dog's still there, wagging his tail. In a creek bed, like, when are we gonna go shoot birds? And that's, like, that's what he's thinking. And you know, it gets so dark that at that point, you've got a myriad of things that want to kill that dog out there. Not only me too, but I'm not that worried about it. I mean, it's more like he's just a chicken nugget out there for some things, and I really don't like that. And he's very curious. A German Shepherd, he's gonna go 100 yards. He's gonna zigzag back. He's gonna get the wind. And he's gonna smell something. He's gonna want to go look for it. And that could be bad, you know what I mean? I've been guiding way up north where I've seen a German Shepherd get baited into the woods by wolves and they rip him to shreds, you know? Yeah. It happens. Not the wolves so much in Utah, but there's sheepdogs, there's coyotes, there's cats, there's bears. There's a million things that were trying to mess with us that night, you know? But the first thing I saw was, like, I had no light. And I'm like, okay, well, how the hell am I going to do this? How the hell am I going to do? I don't even know where I'm going. I know where I got to get, but I got thrown so bad that I couldn't mind map where the hell I am. I know I'm in between these major crossings of these trails, but I don't know how far. And I don't want to go down the wrong creek, but guess what? You don't have a choice. I'm not going to go to the other one and be like, oh, this looks better. Like, what? You know, I'm going down. So I did this for a bit, and it gets so pitch black that he bumps into me again, and Sport Dog makes a light. Absolute props to Sport Dog. That stupid little quarter light, the marker light. So we flick that on, and it's just like the happiest moment you've ever had, and such a weird thing. Oh my God, I was ecstatic. I was like, okay, we're good now. Like, it made me feel that good. We weren't good by any means, but that light was like, oh, okay, we're safe. And it was very ignorant. I mean, the thing is barely, you couldn't see it from over there, you know, but just here, cool. I could see what's in front of me. And man, that was like just a breath of fresh air. Really, really cool. A
little bit of hope.
Oh, yeah. So that dog saved me already once or twice. And it's getting real dark. It wasn't a good day. Sorry, I keep thinking about it. It's still pretty fresh.
It's all good, yeah. Man. Take your time.
No, I just didn't want to hurt that dog. You know what I mean? I felt really bad. I want people to know that, like, I wasn't out there thinking, like, oh, I can't wait to be on a podcast talking about this. Like, I was so fucking embarrassed. That was the first thing I thought, like, oh, my God, I fucked up so bad. Fuck, I turned left when I should have turned right. I did something wrong. A miscalculation of some sort. It's my fault. What a piece of shit. I just was so angry at myself. So angry. And I know there's people that are going to be looking for me, like friends and family, and then there's this dog. Like, fuck, why did I just do that? I felt so angry. You know what I mean? That was the first thing that came to my mind. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to be a lot of, like, this is going to be a crazy story. It's going to be like, I would end my own life if he died right now. If I killed him, I don't know how I would do that. I've never had a human child, but Jesus Christ, that ruined me. It ruined me mentally, you know? But I guess it also made me obligated, like, okay, now I have to get
out. You gotta get him out of there.
Now I have to get this kid out of here. Cause it's like, it's my little man and I put him here. I gotta get him out. If it's the last thing I do. And that's pretty much the mentality I had, you know, the first 4 or 5 hours at least with him in the dark. And it's just so much further when you crawl. Holy shit. I don't think people, but oh my God. I mean, I'm a very mathematical, logical guy, like with welding and fabricating. So I'm measuring my pace and this is not good. I didn't know what the pace had to match because I don't know truly how far. I'm guessing 4 miles-ish, but I'm doing like 8 inches at a pop with this. And wow, that's going to take a long time. But I don't know. I just started to deteriorate that. I'm happy I didn't know how long it took.
Yeah.
I'm very happy I didn't. To me, it was a couple hours. You know, but long story short, I have to start doing this part, you know, to get back because I'm dragging the leg and I'm going so far downhill that if I try to turn around, I start to tumble. But if I go the other way, you know, it's easy. I can kind of drag and drag, but you're going up and over this. You're going up and over that. You're going under this log. You're going over that log. So I've gone maybe a third of a mile in like 3 hours. And I was like, this is just, I'm going to die out here. And it's June, or it was July. So you think July, Utah, it's pretty hot. We're at 10,000 feet, middle of the night in a creek bed.
That's cool.
It gets to about 40.
Yeah.
And I had to cross the creek bed, now I know, 8 times. Back and forth and back and forth. So the first 2 times soaked me because I couldn't figure out how to not get soaked. You know, this leg, I was so worried about it. But then when I went to put weight on this leg, that would dislocate. And then my hip started dislocating from like an old sports injury. I was like, okay, well, this is not working. What else am I supposed to do though? Like I'm, and in my head, again, I'm hating myself. And you're so cerebral at that point. You're like, I shouldn't have been thinking about any of those things. I thought I'd been just focusing and like, how am I going to get over this? But the whole time you're not, you're like, you piece of shit. Oh, I hated myself. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to lose my leg. Just get this dog out of here. I didn't worry about my body. You know, it's not a conversation you can have with yourself. I was just so down on myself that I was like, okay, well, we got to drag our body out of here. So eventually this got me to one trail. And I was like, okay, well, you can't do that anymore. You're never going to get out of here. Never going to get out of here. So I figured out I could flip over on my knees. It's going to break the leg again because the way I'm sitting and the way I have to flip that leg over. Like, all right, whatever. Flip it over, scream to high heavens. And now buddy's getting it. Now buddy gets it. You know what I mean? He realizes like, ooh, his ears went back. And now I know he knows. Like he knows dad's in a big, oh shit moment. And okay, leg does whatever. Put the ankle back so I can drag it. Because I couldn't drag it like that. Because it would keep, oh.
Yeah, yeah. It grabs things too.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
So I put it inside. Yeah. That's wild that you know that. Yeah, it grabs shit. Like, oh, ugh. It's a horrible feeling. And feeling your bones just like, oh, it was horrible. Like gaggable. And okay, it's way easier though to crawl that way. Oh man, I can go 10 times faster. I was like excited again. So another little boost of something. And he's there and he gets it and he keeps stopping back and checking me. And I keep kind of like, I don't know if I passed out, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? I can't it's not all there anymore, but he keeps checking me. And like, if you have a bird dog, you know, they'll check you. And if it's a good dog, he checks you at a certain distance every single time. My dog was doing that. It was great. He's still zigzagging in the trail though, thinking we're hunting. So it's like, all right, well, at least he's not, he's kind of having a good time is kind of what I was thinking. Like, all right, well, he's at least enjoying this. Let's just get out of here. And then I get to the next creek passing and I realize where I am. And I'm so much further back than I thought.
Yeah, of course you are.
Oh my God. Like, it was like, that was a point where I got pretty mentally weak and I was like, ah, what are my other options? Like, could I just wait here? Could I just wait here? I didn't find my pistol that second until the next morning somebody found it. So I didn't have any, like, I can't shoot to notify anybody.
Yeah.
I'm in the bottom of a creek canyon. Good luck yelling. And the closest person is a Peruvian sheep herder a mile and a half away. What is he? He's going to be like, oh, ¿qué pasa? Like, what are they going to do? So I got just in my head, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But at a certain point, you kind of just, I just went away, if that makes sense. You know, you just get a routine. And I just kept watching my hands slowly just start bleeding and my knees slowly just like the skin is just grinding away.
Yeah, I started concentrating on that too.
It's weird.
Like after every slide, it'd be like, okay, that's gone. That
well, you're just watching.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Hell, I hadn't thought about that in forever, but yeah.
It's like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mentally, because it's like, that's bad. That's all I kept thinking about. I was like, this is pretty bad. This is bad. And I just, oh, I wasn't thinking. And then I went full-blown nuts. I mean, I was singing the song from Finding Nemo that I used to watch.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, I was like, hey, man, did you get a tune in your head?
Dude, the whole time, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Dory, couldn't believe it. When my nephew or my little cousin was like 2 years old, 3 years old, babysitting him, it just snapped in my head, and I found myself crawling, singing that. And I laughed out loud. I was like, well, full-blown lost it. Full-blown lost it. And my dog doesn't know what's going on, and I keep in between singing, screaming his name when he gets too far, because it's like I just don't want to watch him be just eaten up there, because it's like, God, there's, if you know anything about the backwoods there too, the coyotes are in big packs and it sounds like screaming young girls too.
Yeah,
we have them here.
It's, but people don't, I always get asked by clients, like, is somebody okay? I'm like, it's not even human, like, yeah, it's coyotes.
It sounds like,
but it's
kids.
Terrifying. Yeah, and he keeps on hearing that and doing this. I know most likely those coyotes aren't really going to be the problem, but he's getting curious. And whoa. And now I'm still singing this song. And it's like, good Lord, what is going on here? Like,
the freaking song.
I lost it.
Yeah. That part. You're like, why that one? Why is that in my head?
You don't get to choose. Yeah.
You don't. And once it gets in there, was there a certain chorus you would say? It's not the whole song either.
No, it's just like, keep swimming.
I didn't have, yeah, that.
Just one line.
Just one line.
Oh my God. But it helped in a weird way. Because I just went some other place. And I don't know how long that was. Now I do. But the next thing that kind of, it was just so cold at some point that I grabbed Buddy. And whether he liked it or not, I tucked under like this mash of an old stump. And I was just like, okay, well, I have full body shivers now. Now it's like this kind of thing, you know, full blown, cannot warm up. So I grabbed him. Shit, he's soaked too. Fuck. Now I feel terrible. Even more terrible. But I hug him for like 20 minutes, full body, like where I'm hugging him underneath this damn log. I turned his light off so nothing can see us. But then I got real scared, like, I'm not going to wake up. Like, this is the kind of, I'm freezing. And he's freezing. I don't know if I'll wake up. I didn't know how serious that was, but in my head it was like, this is probably, I don't think this is smart to stop. Not only because getting back on my knees was, whoa, now I feel the pain. Shit, I shouldn't have stopped.
Yeah.
So now, okay, I get him out and he's kind of like, oh, like I was tired. Well, now I can notice that he's tired and now he's dragging and he's sitting down now. You'll never know this for sure because you can't talk to a dog, but he's sitting down in front of me, very small increments and like waiting for me. And I'm just laboring. Now this shoulder and other sports injury is popping out. So it's getting so bad that hips, this is popping out. I mean, it's like a circus going down the road. And my skin is all gone there. So I just grabbed rocks. So instead of, you know, going hand to rock, it's rock to rock. And it's a little better. And I'm using them to scare shit away. And I'm just mentally, it's nice. Okay, I feel like I have a weapon. But he just keeps going like 10, 20 feet, 10, 20 feet. And I just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I can't find a single patch of dirt on that damn mountain. It was 4 miles of rock.
Yeah.
4 miles of straight rock. Like, oh man, you never really think about it until you look around and you're just like, I wish I could find a soft patch. This is terrible. So hours and hours of that. Four more creek crossings. I started to toss boulders in the creeks to try to have a hopscotch, you know? Okay, you got to put one hand there, lean the leg there. And then some of them, it's like, well, you don't have that. And it's real deep. So I just toss my body. Like I would leave my leg on the other side and just throw my body over. Okay, cool. Not soaked. I can hear like.
Yeah, but that water's cold.
Yeah. Oh, but I drank it for so long. Oh,
so
my
good.
God. Best right? water I ever had. Best water I ever had.
Same thing happened to me, man.
I even like stood there for a while. I was like, wow, that's good. Like Poland Spring can eat it. This is a spring I like.
That was good. I stopped one time. I was like, this is a good place to die. Because I got water right there. There was a little overhead log, a busted up log had been hollowed out and rotten out. And I was like, I can lay there. I just didn't have the dog.
Yeah, that's what kept me from going fully into that thought. Because I would think about that sometimes, like, oh, who cares? Like, I am done. This ain't worth it. And it's weird that one tough night got so tough that of course it was worth it. Of course it was worth it.
Yeah.
But you don't think that, you know? And at the time, it's just like, whew, mentally, I am just gone. But if the dog was there, I was so obligated and I felt so bad. He kept going. I kept going because of him. And then I thought a truck was there. Dude, I thought I was looking at lights. And I was like, oh my God. It was like watching a Discovery Channel show when somebody's in the middle of the ocean and they're like, a ship. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Holy shit. Somebody noticed that I didn't text them back or something and they're here. And I'm just trying to will my body to come over. And it's the damn sunlight coming over the ridge. And I thought it was lights because it's coming through the perfect pocket. And I feel like such an asshole because I got so excited and I was immediately the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Dead. Ugh. And I can't even see the valley yet. And the valley's where my truck's parked a half a mile into this little valley. So sat there and basically lost my mind, just contemplated giving up right there. It's like, oh, God, that was such a sweet feeling. Immediately followed by the worst feeling ever. But then I'm like, okay, I'm about to cross my last creek crossing and I got a ways and I'm thirsty. I know I'm going to be beat up and thirsty. What am I going to do here? So it's one last push. It was my seventh creek crossing. The eighth one had a giant, what do you call it? Like a culvert pipe. And it was, I threw my body on top of it and bear hugged it across because it was the big creek crossing. Mm-hmm. Not sure why that was there. Thank God it was. It got across. And okay, now we're almost in the valley, you know? And that's when I saw those lights, kind of gave up, kind of didn't, kind of got back into it, and just kept literally going. I don't know how, I wish I could elongate that 11 hours for people, but I don't really remember a ton of it. It's like, I went another place, and I remember singing the song, and I remember the blood, and not feeling the pain, but seeing shit, just like, oh, this is terrible. And being out of body, like, I was experiencing it as I was living it. And I wish I could tell you a hell of a lot more about those 11 hours, but I don't have it.
Not yet.
Maybe not.
Still a little fresh.
It's like, I almost feel violated a little bit by that. Like, damn, I was, that's wild.
Nah, it's defense. It's a defensive mechanism.
I just didn't have if I would have known how far, like I said, I wouldn't have done it. If I would have known that it was that excruciating. And if I would have remembered I had a trailer on my truck that I had to take off, all this shit. And thank God I left my keys at the truck. I started thinking about that, and I couldn't remember if I did. And I was like, if I didn't, I shouldn't even have started this crawl. Why would I have no keys in my truck in the backwoods? I'm just like gambling 50-50. I did the right thing. I left my keys there. I did. But at the time, I was like, you know, I'm cross-eyed inside. Like, I don't know what I did. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I am, what's happening. It was super violating in a way. I don't know how to explain it.
But at what point do you realize you're almost to your truck?
When I get to the last creek crossing, then I think, okay, I'm like 1.2 from the truck right now. I know it because I've crossed that 1,000 times. So then you keep, you don't usually crawl it, but you get down lower and you can see the valley. And I could see my truck at one point.
And Buddy's still with you.
Uh-huh.
And is the sun fully up?
Oh, yeah. And now he gets jacked up excited. And I was like, oh, that makes me feel so much better. Because I didn't know if he had internal injuries. Because those dogs are so tough. could be all broken ribs and he's still going to run around. He's not going to tell you that. So I'm like still kind of squeezing him, hoping for no yelps. And at one point it was like the best scene in the movie that maybe hasn't happened yet. I just let him go. I just sent him hunting in the field because I knew there's nothing out there. And I wanted that to be what we were doing. I wish it was, it wasn't, but I was like, go get him, buddy. And he just freaked out, like wagging tail, like a whole new brand new dog. And he just covers this whole field finding birds. He's literally flushing birds as I'm crawling next to him. And it was like, made me so happy that he wasn't dead, that it gave me like that last 1,000-yard push. And that took a super long, you know, way longer than you think. And the trailer, how do you even compute that? Now I can't use my legs and I can't use this and this shoulder's popped out. So I literally rested the bottom of the trailer tongue on here, grabbed the tailgate and I had it unlocked and I pulled up with this arm and just went, and I just shoved the damn thing up. Somehow it unhooked. Somehow it's there. Okay, cool. And I monkey crawled to the front door, whipped this, what used to be a leg in there. And at that point, I'm like, it's gone. I'm not going to have this leg. Totally okay with it. I'm joking around in my head, like, what am I going to snap onto here? I get some guiding accessories, a spotting scope I can go like that with or something. You know, and I was just really, really, really worried about that. But at that time, I'm in the car. I had fresh water, best bottle of water I ever had. And I start driving, and I have to drive a decent way. You know, it's like 20 minutes. And every bump, you know, is just oof. But it's like at that point, you could have punched me in the face 1,000 times. I don't care. I'm on my way to the hospital. This is great. Like, I'm psyched. And I get to a diner. The first human I see, really. The first walking around human that I can yell at to ask, use their phone, is this young lady. And I screech into that place. And I was like, you know, I didn't want to scare her. I didn't want to alarm her, but I want to get this done quick. And I asked her, like, ma'am, where is the closest hospital? Can you call 911? And is it fast for me to drive there? And it came out, like, real jumbled like that. And she's like, what? What? And I was like, I'm super hurt. I need to go to the hospital. Is it faster for them to come get me or for me to go there? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, well, can you call 911? Because I need to know that. Like, bad. And I'm trying to be polite. And she calls. She's about to dial 911. She goes, can I see it? Like, she didn't believe me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I whipped the door open and my leg must have just looked mangled. And she's like, okay. Like, she didn't want to look at it. When she's a nursing student. So she whips into like.
Of course she is. Rolled up on a nursing student.
Isn't that wild? And she whips into action and she starts telling them. And she basically told them exactly what happened, how it happened. And they're there in 9 minutes. And then I was like, okay, this is okay. They're there. That's fine. These people, you know, shout out to them, you know, out there in Park City and like the summit in Oakley, Utah, all these people at the fire station. They took the dog for days, took care of him, fed him. He's living his best life when I'm getting taken to the hospital, you know, and the one guy is like walking me through it. And he was ex-military and he's absolutely like damn near holding my hand mentally through the whole thing. Cause I'm asking him like, did I do good? Like, how's that leg? Is it bad? And like, did it pop through? Am I bleeding? And he goes, dude, you did awesome. And whether or not I did, I don't know, but he was saying this.
It's a good one.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, he just comforted me and I was like, all right.
What's his name? You remember?
He calls himself the Candy Man, but I don't know what his name is. Yeah, because
of course he does.
He was a military corpsman. He goes, I'm going to fix you right up. They used to call me the Candy Man. And I was like, yes, sir, Candy.
I want to hear that story one day.
Yes. I got his number. He's a very good dude. But he was like, you know, this is, he's like, I've seen all kinds of shit. That's impressive. And I was like, all right, awesome. Well, I guess I did something, you know. I didn't know really how to splint a leg. I'm not an expert at that, but I've seen enough things and I have enough people in my life, like there are nurses and medics and this and that I just knew it. Look, put it back to where it looks like it's together. As horrible as that was and the noises were, you know, you kind of just jam the thing in there and I just taped the shit up. I guess it worked.
That is crazy. Yeah. How long were you in the hospital?
Like 3 or 4 days. I hate the hospital. I tried to get as soon as possible.
What did they say? Like, what was your diagnosis of your leg? Was it?
Tib and fib broke, but it kind of, like, I'll show you the x-rays. It's not just a clean break. You know, there's 3 or 4 chunks of bones. Now they're floating around. They're all kind of, you know, I can feel them. They don't really hurt, but it just kept on grinding. Every time I would break it, every time I would flip, or every time I would switch from this to that, you know, I'm breaking off chunks. So that's mangled. Fractured that ankle. fractured that ankle and a horrific sprain, you know, from the dislocation. All kinds of ribs. This dislocated, that dislocated. You know, I mean, bruises like you can't believe head to toe. Mm-hmm. And this knee most likely is going to need something, but we're not, I got to let this stuff heal before I even know what's next kind of thing. So
this was July of 24.
Nope. This year.
This year.
Yes. 61 days ago.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah. I've done 2 archery clients already. So
what?
Yeah. I just can't sit on the couch. I don't care. I mean, I'm a little slower, but I can still guide an archery hunter. No, you gotta get
good for your mind too.
Oh yeah. And it's great PT.
Yeah.
I can't sit on the couch anymore wondering what I did wrong.
Yeah. Because once your body's down, your mind starts to follow afterwards. Mm-hmm. If you're out doing it, that doesn't have time to think about that.
And I got, there's a minute there, you know, where you have no choice. And I got all soft and fat and down on myself. And it's like, I don't care. I got to go in the woods.
It's debilitating.
Yeah. I did not like that.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. So, it's just crazy. I have so many questions.
That's a good one, bro.
Yeah, that's
crazy. That's a good story, man. And you went back up there already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I'm starting to remember a lot of things.
That's what I'm saying. I'd probably come back to you, especially if you go back up in there. Maybe not when you got thrown out of that in the tumble.
Yeah, not that part yet, but driving back up there.
Yeah, it's like a defensive mechanism.
Driving what I crawled. That was weird. That was weird. And then seeing my body drag marks. Oh, that made me weep.
Well, how soon after did you go back out there?
I didn't go out there real quick, but other guys went out there right away, you know, to try to help my stuff out. And make sure, you know, public land didn't have any firearms on it and all that stuff, and they got it. But first person that got there, he showed me a picture, and I thought it was the picture of them dragging my machine out. And it wasn't. It was my drag marks. And the dude was like, I was like, did you find where I was? He's like, yeah, I followed your body. And I was like, okay.
You left me a trail.
Yeah. It was disgusting.
So they did get your machine out?
Uh-huh.
What were you driving, Ranger?
Polaris Ranger, yeah, the big four-door.
Do we have a Ranger sponsorship for this guy?
Honestly, I don't know. I am so impressed that machine was still running, but I'm very glad I didn't have my seatbelt on.
Great commercial.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I just don't know. There's no way to survive that. 25 rolls like that. Mathematically, it had to be about 25 flips, you know, down there. I don't think I definitely wouldn't be talking to you today. Neither would my dog wouldn't be alive if we rode that.
That's what's curious. Buddy.
Yeah.
Being strapped in the back like that.
Yeah, did they find he's a miracle.
It looked like somebody stomped on a tissue box.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
so
like
it just popped crumpled, the door open.
Destroyed. How did that dog part? So that's where I went real crazy the first week in the hospital. It's like, did I just die and this is all just like wild right
okay,
now?
Okay, so technically I'm not supposed to tell you this, but welcome to heaven. Yeah.
Damn it, I knew the sign when I drove
you know,
in.
I normally wait for a while to keep
this is great.
This I thought everybody, but you know, you didn't make it. But you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But like we talked
so
earlier.
So keep a good head about it.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be good. Keep doing what you're doing.
It's a very odd way to think, you know. Yeah. And I you know, I'm almost certain I didn't, but there's definitely something gone.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, it's like definitely not the same person. I don't know if it was just the duration of time or the amount of dark. That's another thing I don't really, I'm not like scared of the dark, but you have to give into it at some point out there. You just stop looking around. Stop looking around. Shine in the light. What are you going to find? You know, at some point I just got out of my own head. I was like, okay, whatever happens is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think right there, that moment of like just giving up with that, something changed in me forever. For sure.
It was like so traumatic.
Yeah, the darkness does that.
Yeah, it was different. And you just gave up to it because, like, why even be scared? It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen? I don't
There's
know.
There's a reason why you can't see out there in it. Just focus on
what. And at some point, it became very, like, peaceful about it. And I just kept trucking along. But I feel different. For sure. In a way I can't explain, but, like, I just feel like I woke up somewhere else a little bit. Does that make sense?
Of course.
And it was just an odd experience for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but you'll grow into that, though.
Yeah.
As you heal.
Yeah, it was a wild night.
Who was the first person you called?
Oh, that's a whole nother story, man. I get to the diner, right? So I don't have my phone. And the only phone numbers that I have memorized are my mother's and brother's and like an old girlfriend. So not calling her. My brother's probably at work. My mother's a nurse. She's an ICU, like, man, she's like a high-level nurse. So she's well aware. But I don't have a phone. So I'm like asking people, can I borrow your phone? And like I'm talking to these people. And they're like, you shouldn't worry about that. The paramedic says, tell me who you want me to call. So I was like, I rifled off on one number. It was my mother. He calls my mother. She answers. She goes, hello, because she's on speaker. And this is probably the ninth time. Like, I've had an unfortunate amount of these crazy accidents in my life where she kind of knows, like, hello?
Ma, it's me again.
But in the background, all she can hear is me asking the guy if I'm going to keep my leg. And she still doesn't know what happens. It's a day and a half later. Turns out she had texted me about 20 times on my phone. Like, she's like, I have a weird feeling up in the middle of the night. You know, one of those premonitions. We're very, you know, connected. She knew something was wrong. And the paramedic calls her. And the first thing she hears me saying that. And he goes, like, he doesn't want you to fly out. He's okay, but something happened. And she basically hung up and got a flight out.
Yeah, of course.
She thought it was a bear attack. Hearing the guy
that
talk.
Makes sense.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very plausible, you know. A year and a half before that, I had a bear come up behind me real bad at a welding job where I was doing a fence at a property, and Buddy scared it away. Buddy's just he's not a normal dog, but he came up there and he doesn't bark. So he barked at one time and I flicked my hood off and there's this 350-pound boar just there like, what's up? And Buddy, this little dog's like barking his face off and scared it away. So it was very plausible that that could happen again. She was pretty worried about it. So.
Oh my gosh. What was it like the first time you saw Buddy again?
I didn't see him for 3 days. And then they brought him into the firehouse, brought him into the hospital for me. And he freaked out. Like, he definitely knew what happened. Like, you could tell. Like, he came in there and he was so excited, but he was so gentle because of how fucked up I was.
Yeah.
Just laying there like this and all kinds of casts plugged into everything. And he kind of like was how a dog sees a baby for the first time. And man, that just, oh yeah, that wrecked me. It's like he knew. That was interesting.
But they checked him out and he was totally fine?
Not a scratch. Can't believe that.
That is so awesome.
Doesn't seem real.
That sounds like Gus. Our nephew dog that was a German short hair pointer. He
wasn't even my dog. I loved him, man.
We would babysit him. And I was terrified to babysit him. Because and we have a lot of land out here.
Yeah.
Our dogs, we have labs. They roam the land, but they somehow know their boundaries.
Yeah.
And they come home. Gus just kept swimming that song. That
20 freaking miles. I got a call from a vet. He's like, hey, we got your dog.
22 miles away.
Oh my God.
Like when people tell you German short hairs run, they run, man. They just freaking run.
Yeah. Holy crap. I did not.
Morgan was he on deployment or something?
He was somewhere.
I think he was on deployment.
Hey, how's my dog? I was like, great. Wow.
Yeah. We're like, we're not telling him. We're like, we have no idea where this dog is. And then Morgan got
22 miles away from here. Uh-huh. It happened all the time.
Yeah. That's wild.
Like, my mom won't even watch him anymore because she's like, as soon as he gets out to go to the bathroom, he's 40 miles away from the house.
We never know where he is. Yeah. He just loved to run.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But he got hit by a car. Mm.
Attacked by a bobcat.
He got all kinds of things, but he just was fine.
Didn't care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's wild.
Just always a smile on his face, man.
Yeah.
He's passed away. He died of old age, but... Yeah.
He had a good run down here.
Yeah, yeah.
We know the love of a German short hair.
Yeah, they're
great.
Oh, yeah.
Has he got a maroon or is he?
No, he's actually got a jet black head and he's white and black.
Oh,
he's the only pointer I've ever seen with full black head.
That's cool.
So he looks like a puppy Great Dane.
Yeah.
Everybody always thinks it's a Great Dane.
Some of the markings, when they're all the same color like that, as their saddle. Those are cool, man. I love those dogs.
Yeah.
Has anybody approached you about writing a book or anything?
Yeah, a couple people. And I mean, when I start talking about it too, it's like, not to even get into that, but I have lived a little bit of I would say a storied life more so than fucked up, you know, as far as, you know, the way I grew up and everything and always trying to challenge yourself. Like you say, you measure yourself against another man. And that's all I had was this. And like, it's essentially a competition every time, like every sport, you know, wrestling, hockey, shooting in the PRS, finding like, man, these dudes are making, they don't miss. These dudes are not missing at 17 hundo. And I'm close, but it's like you're measuring yourself against that guy and doing that over and over again, you know, that's really how you become your own in that. And that's why it's a very weird way to deal with that. But I have so many stories of that. And I didn't realize it was really that interesting until this happened. And now everybody's like knocking on the door. It's like, all right, well, you guys just hang out for a minute.
If you were out there guiding, I'd be with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably will do a hunt together, as a matter of fact. We were just talking about this.
Absolutely.
Especially since you saddled back up and went back out.
Yeah.
That'd break a lot of men.
People were worried about that, too. Like, I did my first hunt, and one of the guys is a good friend of mine, And it's just, it's hard for them to go out now because they see how messed up I am and they don't want to worry about it. But it's like, I have to get back out there.
Yeah.
I have to get back out there. And the best PT for me is doing the same damn thing that I was doing.
Or you'll die if you sit around in it.
Yeah. I'm just going to get depressed.
Yeah.
And I felt
that. He went back to combat after. He went to Iraq after.
Good Lord,
Afghanistan.
Man.
So we get that mentality is you, if you don't accept that challenge or get back on the horse, then
it'll kill your spirit.
It does kill a little bit of you.
I mean, I could have dove into it and just sat there and felt bad for myself. But like, there's no victim here. If anything, I'm glad that I hated myself for it because it made me, I was embarrassed. I still am embarrassed telling the story. It's like, damn it. It's all my fault if you really look at it.
Well,
but
overly, man, you only feel bad about yourself if there's somebody next to you. And when you're by yourself, kind of, you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah.
I can't feel sorry for myself. Somebody actually has to do that for me, but there's no one here. Damn it.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think that resonates with just everybody. Everybody makes one decision that at the time you don't even know. It's not like you thought about, well, this is a bad decision and I'm going for it. It was just, oh shit, this tire just started to fall off. Like it wasn't like you were being
I was 0 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It wasn't even moving, you know? It's like.
Yeah. You weren't just out there fooling around.
No.
It was just shit luck.
And that's, I guess, what I've gotten a lot of people to ask me about that is so many people have come up to me and been like, oh, man, I didn't realize how quick things can go south. And I was like, yeah, man, me either.
Immediately.
I was about prepared as it gets. Name one more thing that you could have had for being in the backwoods to contact somebody. But it doesn't matter when your body physically just gets launched. I mean,
the duct tape and the stick are my favorite because it's almost like God strips everything from you, puts you in a scenario, and like, would you leave me?
That was like you and your gun.
Yeah. Here's your freaking duct tape.
Yeah.
And here's that stick, right? And that's all you needed.
They had to cut that duct tape.
And the dog.
Off. Yeah.
When you were talking about he'd go up ahead of me and sit, he's like, it's him going up and saying, hey, crawl to here.
I didn't know that.
And then when you get here, I'll go up a little bit more and we'll just baby step this whole thing.
That's a little angel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's what that was.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's good having them, man, when they show up.
I hope they do some sort of something about this story just for him. I mean, that is amazing. You know, aww. It's like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Boys and their dogs. There needs to be a TV show that
Buddy.
Tell stories like this, right?
Yeah.
Like Old Yeller type kind of.
That's a great idea.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'd watch the mess out of that. Stories about.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get you on all levels. Uh-huh. Adversity, and then you got a freaking canine there saving your ass.
Yeah.
I took, when our little ones were probably like 6 and 7, one of the mini sad dog movies came out. I don't even remember which one it was, but I took the kids and our son Axe just is bawling at the end. I mean, ball. It's like
Marley and Me?
No, that was like Hunter's era.
That makes everybody cry.
This was something.
Yeah, you know, it was like our modern day Old Yeller.
Yeah.
Red Fern Grows.
Yeah,
that one got me.
Yeah. I mean, Axe is 14, so this was like 7 years ago. Whatever it was. And then he gets mad. And Addie's sitting next to me, and then Axe is on the other side. And Axe leans over, and he says, Mom, do not ever take me to another dog movie for the rest of my life. He was so upset because he resonated with that. We had a service dog at the time, Rigby.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, I don't ever want to see another sad dog movie again.
Dog movies are the best and the worst.
I know.
Yeah.
Especially if you play out his whole life and he freaking dies on you.
Oh, my God. I know. Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty happy he was not hurt, you know. Just the emotion that I felt there was just so odd. But that was the heaviest emotion I had was, God, I hate it. I can't believe I did that.
The two best lines are, I wish I was half the man my dog thought I was. And I was like, I was literally with my canine for almost 12 years. He was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me more about myself than any human being.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
And he never said one word to me.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I knew exactly what he was trying to say to me.
Yeah.
And the energy. And I mean, like, you know, God, a dog, that's God's love, right? If that's what it looked like, it had to be a dog.
It's unconditional.
Unconditional.
Yeah.
You know, beat his ass, leave him in the truck. Shows back up, hey, good to see you, man. Yeah. What's up? I'm like, oh, dang. Freaking.
When we first got married, his service dog, we left him in the truck, not realizing it, like bringing in groceries or whatever. And he had fallen asleep in the back seat. And after like an hour or two.
Yeah, it went for about an hour, right?
It was about an hour.
Where the hell?
Like, where's Rigby?
It's my dog.
And he goes and opens the back door of the truck, and Rigby's so happy, and he's just like,
he's just sitting there looking at me like, what's up, man? And I was scared to death, right? Because he's normally right there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even an hour, and it wasn't hot or anything outside. It was just kind of like, he was just like, man,
he was so happy to see him. And Marcus said, if I would have left you in the back of the truck, you would not be happy.
Yeah, it's like if I left my wife locked in there, man, she'd have been like, what the?
Yeah, I know.
Where you been?
Yeah, that's why I say, like, I have friends that they would have saw that bear behind me. They would have been like, hey, man, there's a bear behind you. Hey.
But he chased after it to dance.
Or not tell you.
You're right, yeah.
We got to get out of here. Yeah, got to get out of here. Look up, they're way down there. Like, what's up? There's a bear behind you, man.
Yeah, I know.
So have you thought about like what was the lesson God was teaching you in this? Do you have like an outcome?
Self-rescue, all these gadgets, all this technology. If you don't know how to do it up here, what the hell's the point?
Yeah.
What the hell's the point? And I'm glad that I knew how to do that just inadvertently guiding so long. But some people, you go out there and it's like, even you just want to go hiking way back there and you get hurt. That's way more serious than you realize.
Yeah.
Just for the sheer fact of the distance from you to what you would consider safety in today's easy world, that's not easy. You know, that's ancient problems. You know, being far back, getting hurt as a hunter-gatherer and trying to make it back to your tribe or something. Like, that's very basic that people don't give a shit about. I mean, even like you crash your car in some places in Utah in a wrong place, you're going to have to walk. You know, I mean, people just take it so much for granted how much technology gives us access.
Yeah.
And that made me learn that day, like, I could not have more crap to save me, and none of it mattered.
Yeah.
And just my mind was the only thing that got really my mind on the dog. You know, at the end of the day, you need that. You need the intangibles. You need the not the huge kit or backpack. You need you.
Yeah.
And some sort of strength, you know.
Have you ever carried a beacon with you?
I have. And the IR beacon in that too. Gone.
Yeah.
Same thing to me. I had my beacon too, and it freaking ripped right off of me.
I mean, it's like I got undressed in the air. What the hell?
Undressed, and then that stuff was shotgun over the top of the mountain, like everywhere.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The GPS, freaking radio. No, I had my radio, but everything else was freaking gone.
Yeah, it's wild.
Isn't it crazy?
Uh-huh.
It's
this stuff was strapped onto me.
Literally. I'm surprised I wasn't more hurt by how much my stuff got thrown. That's what shocks me, is maybe having my body thrown through the air and just breaking this was super lucky, because that...
Oh, 100%. Look what it did to the vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And your friends did find your rifle?
Yeah. And all they found just about everything other than, like, a pack. You know, it's been a lot of, like, serious searching for stuff because the bush is so high. But the stuff that they couldn't find, it's, like, you know, minimal things. Like, how are you going to find an inReach that big? It's just... Mm-hmm. Good luck. Somebody finds that one day. There you go. But
yeah,
I sure couldn't find it. Somebody's probably going to find it. Yeah.
And where were you? You were close to Park City?
And it's like 40 minutes close to Park City. Like there's a place called like Whitney Reservoir, like this area where there's a high peak that bumps into some nice private land up there and stuff. You know, it's only 25, 30 minutes really if you're driving from Park City near all these crazy places and that.
Yeah.
And I was, like I told you, I was probably 2.5 miles as the crow flies from somebody that was out there at the time. Didn't know it, couldn't contact them. They didn't know it. And it's that easy. Like, it's that easy to be that close to people. That's not that far. You know what I mean? 2.5 miles. But it's far enough to be in a serious situation.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I'm sorry you went through that, but there was a reason for
good
it.
Good for you for making it.
Yeah.
Good job, man.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if I'm sorry, you know. I can't regret it.
Yeah.
But...
No, don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
That was a test. You passed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hell
of a
test.
Get that out of your head about how you're thinking. That's just getting... Imagine that was tucked in there and you had to get it out of there.
Yeah.
And the only way to get that negative thinking out of there and getting pissed off at yourself was to put you in that arena.
Yeah.
Right? And so now that you've been in that, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you talk about this to other people, tell them that, especially when you're guiding or even no matter what you do or how you're doing. Like, hey, look, this may happen. Matter of fact, it's probably gonna. You're gonna think like this when you got there. Yeah, don't worry about it, man. It'll go away. You just push past that. And the freaking love of a dog. It's a great dog story.
Oh yeah, I mean, he makes everything a hell of a lot better. I mean, God, I could legitimately not have him anymore. It's wild how quick shit could happen. I'm definitely super lucky at the end of the day. You know, in a horribly unlucky situation, I was about as lucky as it could get.
Yeah.
Anything. I can see it in my head, him running up that mountain and just wagging his tail, like happy to see me. Like, how the hell did you get out of there, man?
Couldn't believe it. I thought at that point, I really thought like, oh, I'm not here. Like, that's it. How is he okay? You know what I mean? It's like
a happy moment. To heaven.
Or like in Happy Gilmore when he goes to his happy place and it's just like this. Oh,
yeah.
I was like, exactly. There we go.
I could use a beer now.
Yeah, where's the chick with the big mug of beer?
Sitting here waiting. Beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was different.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Do you still talk to the nurse that first?
No, I haven't. Actually, it's been so recent. I keep meaning to go talk. I talked to the medic and that. And
yeah.
I reached out to a bunch of them. And everybody's been so generous with like, oh my God, the amount of dog stuff I've gotten in the mail is wild.
Sure.
Yeah, it's very cool.
He's gonna be famous, man. He's showered. Instagram page.
Oh yeah, I know. But I haven't talked to her yet. I intend to go.
Definitely give him a life-saving medal.
Oh yeah, I know.
So who are the outfitters that you outfit with if somebody does want to hunt with you?
I run a guide service called Pangea Expeditions, and I outfit, I contract to R&K Hunting, giant outfit in Utah. And then a smaller one called Howe Hunting Co. in Utah also. And there's pretty much not an animal that we do that I can't take you out for. So other than unicorns, pretty much everything else. Yeah.
Still looking.
The nurse might have been your unicorn cause.
Yeah. Well,
congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Good job.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here.